It's a doubleheader for the Milwaukee Brewers today. They take on the Cardinals down in St. Louis. First game coming up at 1:15, exactly 1 hour from now. Second game, 6:45 tonight. The best beat writer around, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com, is sliding into our 12:15 time slot because we'll be off to baseball by the time his usual slot hits. Great to have you early, Adam.
Yes, I'm fully caffeinated for this long day.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Hey, the Milwaukee Brewers, they made a significant decision with one of their top outfield prospects today. They promoted Luis Lara from AAA. How important is this move, and how much potential does Luis have?
Well, he has great potential because he's having an absolute breakout season. He's, you know, he's a switch hitter. He's 5'7", so I'm kind of the smaller side, the kind of player that Pat Murphy always seems to love. And he's been thought of as like a defense and speed guy in the past, his past years in the Brewers system. But this year he's taken this like gigantic step forward in the power department and just general offensive production and become a real all-around threat. He earned a long contract extension last month, a deal similar to the one that propelled Cooper Pratt to the big leagues at shortstop. And here he is. The thing they'll have to figure out is how to fit him into the outfield rotation, because unlike Pratt, who kind of came up and just got plopped at shortstop, the Brewers have some players producing in the outfield right now. Churio, Garrett Mitchell, and Sal Frelick all had really nice months of June. So they're getting good production, and they'll try to squeeze Lara in. The fact he's a switch hitter makes that a lot easier because you can pick spots that make sense. So they'll figure that out. Good problem to have. And as Pat Murphy said, it kind of solidifies them a little further in the outfield.
Well, and you hit it on the head there, Adam. I already saw fans all over social media. Well, this is exciting, but right, how do you plug him in? So is that maybe kind of surprising as well with the production you are getting from outfielders currently that they decide to bring him up at this point, or was this maybe kind of always the plan?
It is surprising. I mean, when David Hamilton tweaked his hamstring last night, he's been a big part of the third base rotation. I thought Jett Williams, right? He's another top 100 prospect the Brewers have, who's playing at Nashville, who's been hot lately. I immediately thought of him. The difference, Lara is on the 40-man roster by virtue of that contract. And there is, you know, that's kind of a boring part of the game that fans don't always care about, but it is something that the GM and his staff have to consider as they move pieces around. When you're on the 40, that makes it a lot easier to call you up because it doesn't mean you subtract somewhere else in the organizational depth. So that helps Lara. And look, he's such a likable kid. He's from Venezuela. He said his first call was to his mother. And you can imagine a young Venezuelan, 21-year-old from Venezuela who loves baseball. This is like the ultimate dream come true in a season that's been one big dream come true. I mean, I asked him, and he reported to Big League Camp, whether he could foresee anything like what's unfolded in the last 5 months. And he said no. I mean, he just wanted to come up and play his game. He's the kind of talented player with the types of tools and plays like Brewers kind of baseball that if he's just himself, he's going to have success and fit. But even, you know, a confident young man couldn't foresee all the life-changing things that have happened in just 5 months. So it's a cool story and a player who's really appreciative of it. He said he just wants to come up and contribute and continue to get to play this beautiful game. So he comes in with a really good attitude.
I was thinking about his family today when I looked up where he was from, because I thought he was from Venezuela, and I'm still thinking about all those families over there. The death toll from last month's earthquakes has now surpassed 3,500. Is most of his family still there? Because I'm thinking about, as you were talking about him calling his mom, if his mom's over there, that must be just this one huge bright spot in such a tough time.
Well, I'll have to check my geography, but I don't think his family was impacted. And fortunately, the families of William Contreras and Jackson Churio and Angel Zerpa, the injured Brewers reliever who's also done as well, and their families and friends who are all unscathed. But as Churio, I think, really eloquently made clear on the last homestand, you know, just because your immediate family is okay, it doesn't mean you're not shaken by what you've seen happening in your country. And credit to Churio and Contreras and other Brewers players for doing what they could do and getting involved in that, you know, that drive in Milwaukee to get supplies and food and money, frankly, to send down to Venezuela to help aid those recovery efforts. I mean, it's William Contreras described kind of a helpless feeling where you feel like you should be somewhere else. You know, he knows he has a job to do here. He knows he has to focus on that. But, you know, when you feel like your country needs you, your community needs you, and you feel like you should be somewhere else, that's an uneasy feeling that those players have kind of had to deal with in the last couple of weeks.
Adam, you mentioned David Hamilton earlier, kind of tweaked that hamstring last night. Any update? I know you asked Murph about it last night, but anything today kind of on his status?
Well, he had an MRI at 10, and they're still waiting for the results of that. I think Pat Murphy's outlook was, when you're a player like David Hamilton, where speed is so much of your game, it's not a 1 or 2 day thing. Even the lightest hamstring issue is going to be longer than that. The question they have to determine is whether it's, you know, 15 days and an IL placement, or whether it's 5 days and maybe you try to get by with what you've got. The issue becomes they do not have a lot of infielders at this point on the roster. So Andrew Vaughn kind of becomes your backup third baseman, which he's done and he's played there and been fine. But I'm not sure you want to go a long time with Andrew Vaughn and then Scott Freeland as your backup. So we could see some weirdness in the doubleheader today, but I guess that's par for the course. When two teams play 5 games in 4 days, you often see some players in odd places, so we'll see what we get.
Weirdness in a doubleheader. That just sounds interesting. We'll take it. Hey, that comeback win against St. Louis last night helped the Brewers reach an elusive franchise milestone. For the first time since the year the Brewers changed leagues back in 1998, the Brewers are back to 500 as a National League franchise. Adam, how much does that matter?
Well, yeah, I wrestled with that last night. I wrestled with even the, like, how much to write about it, because it doesn't matter to the current club. I mean, Bryce Terang, who got the winning hit last night, wasn't born the last time the Brewers were 500 as an NL club. And it has zero bearing on what they're trying to do this season, which is, you know, win the division again and make a run for the World Series. But, you know, it is emblematic for me of how much the culture has changed here. And Terang described that last night. They're not playing well lately. Pat Murphy is very uneasy with the way the Brewers are playing. They're winning all these games, though. And they have developed this culture in which you just find ways to win. And it doesn't matter if it's pretty. It doesn't matter if the hits right now are not coming with runners in scoring position. They're getting enough pitching, enough defense, and the big hit when they need it, that they're in the middle of a winning road trip right now. And look, I'm old enough and grew up in the Milwaukee area. I'm old enough to remember when that is not what Brewers baseball was known for. That was not the culture around the Brewers. And that's why I think it was notable, is it was just kind of a reminder of, in the last decade or so, how much the mindset here has changed. And when players come in here, they know they're expected to play winning baseball. That's something that takes a long time to build, and the Brewers have built it.
Even though they're finding ways to win these games, Adam, and just this crazy stretch they're on right now, does it kind of feel like the guys are maybe racing a bit, just trying to get to that All-Star break to maybe get a little bit of a refresh?
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that, because it is an everyday grind. And when you see those 4 days on the calendar, I mean, imagine what 1 day feels like to these players. Because often when they have off days on the schedule, they've just traveled in from someplace and you get in at 2 a.m. and then you have the off day, or there's a road trip next. So when there's an off day, the fan will see an off day on the calendar. For the Brewers, it might be you're reporting to the ballpark at 2 o'clock to get a workout in and then get on the charter to go wherever you're going next. So to have 4 days that are completely clear on the schedule, it looks like a month for the rest of us. And I think it is natural to really kind of limp to that finish line, but that's what they're trying to battle against, and they're trying to bring in some help. They got some taxi squad guys here today, Greg Jones and Easton McGee, a reliever. If they need to make some moves between games, they can. They're just trying to keep everybody healthy and as fresh as humanly possible to get to the finish. When you play 18 games in 17 days leading to the All-Star break, it's really hard to do that, but they're doing their best.
Adam, is the weather looking okay down in St. Louis for the rest of the day?
Oh, there's a window, Jessica. There's always a window.
But we got 2 games.
I'm looking, I'm standing, you can probably hear stuff happening with the freeways right here next to the stadium, the chopper going overhead. The sky's blue. It looks like a good day. And the Cardinals have a million lefties in the lineup against Jacob Mizorowski in game one. So Mizorowski has a chance to battle through that and set the tone and keep the pitching in good shape for today and the rest of the series.
All right. I just see a little bit. Neil said he was looking at it before, too, and was worried about maybe a pop-up storm. And so I took a look at the precipitation. Doesn't look like it's going to be this afternoon, but I don't know. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock today. We'll keep our fingers crossed. It could be a fun day for baseball.
Hey, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock would be beautiful because we've got a split doubleheader. So we've got 1:15 and 6:45. So, hey, rain away at 5 o'clock.
There you go.
And then just clear up by 6:45.
That's the window for the storms, Mother Nature.
What no one else cares about, but I'll think you guys do, is this is the best press box in baseball for snacks. So we are well stocked upstairs for whatever happens today. So a little delay will survive in the press box. I don't know how the players will be.
Okay. Press box is stocked, and Adam McKelvey is caffeinated. That's Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.